Welcome once again to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Scheltema, and our guest this week, poet and teacher, Kate Rogers. Each week, we visit with an author, editor, or sometimes a publisher who lives in or has connections to our area. We ask them to introduce us to their work. We hope for a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write, and we invite them to read for us from their books. This week, we are very pleased to have poet Kate Rogers with us. She's visiting Coburg from her home in Hong Kong for a reading at the Coburg Poetry Workshop and has agreed to come and talk about her work with us. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Kate Rogers' poetry has appeared in literary journals in the US, Canada, UK, Hong Kong, Japan, Malaysia. Highlights include World Literature Today, the Fieldstone Review, University of Saskatchewan, Tamarack's Canadian Poetry for the 21st Century, Algebra of Owls, Voice and Verse, Twin City Cinema, Hong Kong, Singapore, Juniper, The Guardian, Asia Literary Review, Cha, an Asian literary journal, The Goose, a journal of arts, environment and culture, Many Mountains Moving, and Kyoto Journal. Her poems won second place in the 2018-2019 Big Pond Rumours contest. They've been shortlisted for the 2018 Vancouver Tagore Society contest and the 2017 Montreal International Poetry Prize. Kate's latest poetry collection is Out of Place, Aeolus House, an imprint of Quattro Books, Toronto 2017. Kate will repatriate to Canada from Hong Kong in late November 2019. Well, Kate, let's talk first about a topic that I know is currently concerning people, especially writers and thinkers in Hong Kong. Can you tell us about the current situation in Hong Kong?
I'll try and give a summary, although it's constantly evolving. It's at the moment, students are gathering, high school students, to go out and protest because they're very concerned that the chief executive, Carrie Lam, is not going to keep the China extradition bill under suspension because she in fact said different things in Chinese and English. In Cantonese she said it would be paused. In English she said the bill would be suspended. So, you know, it's very tricky, and both languages are used in Hong Kong, although the majority of people speak Cantonese. And a lot of people, thinkers, scholars, journalists, believe that this was an intentional obfuscation, that she's trying to pander to the finance sector and keep them happy by talking about suspending the bill in English.
That was an interesting development, that the business community came out so strongly against it, right?
Yes.
Again, and perhaps we should just say that the extradition law would have allowed people to be arrested in Hong Kong and taken to China for a trial, right?
That's correct. And particularly journalists, writers, anyone actually who is seen to be criticizing Beijing or seen to be going against the policies of the Hong Kong government. So it would be wide open. But that has been going on since 2015, really, when publishers were kidnapped and taken to mainland China to give confessions on live television about criticizing Xi Jinping, the current leader of China. They were publishing books that were critical of him and his party, and there were four, or I believe five of them, who were kidnapped and forced to give these confessions. So this kind of thing has actually been going on for some time, but it has been escalating recently.
So could you explain how these restrictions are applied to individuals?
In fact, the restrictions aren't official yet, but I had experience with it in that around the 3rd of June, which was the night before the Tiananmen Massacre Memorial that's held in Hong Kong, and Hong Kong is the only city in China where that happens. We were putting our work up on the blog of Cha, an Asian literary journal. That was put up by Tammy Ho, who is the co-editor of that journal. And she lost access to the blog. It's WordPress, which is used by writers around the world to post their work. And she posted everything that was going to be read at the Chinaman Memorial Reading the following day. And my poem that I brought to share, 20 Years in the People's Republic of China, was among those readings. So that's probably the first time that that has happened. And then Facebook also censored it, because Facebook has its algorithms, but we don't know, in fact, whether there was also a hacker involved, because hackers can be employed by mainland authorities to kind of undermine what's going on. So there are no actual official restrictions, but a lot of journalists have been attacked. Victor Mallet of the Financial Times lost his work visa last November because he hosted a debate that included a member of the Hong Kong Independence Party, and that was at the Foreign Correspondents Club. So these things are not happening under the law. Mm-hmm. They're just happening.
Now, the postponement of the extradition law, was it a real victory for the protesters?
I don't think it is, because, and they don't either, and as I was mentioning a few minutes ago, I think they do not trust the chief executive because they believe that she is speaking differently to the English audience and the Cantonese audience, and that and Beijing has not asked her to resign, and that they're supporting her. They don't trust her, and so there will be more protests.
What about you yourself? Have you always written poetry which confronts the political situation, or is this a new development?
Good question. I think living in Hong Kong has encouraged me to write political poetry. Not poetry that's up on a soapbox. I was reading Carolyn Forché again recently, who is an American academic and poet and who has collected poetry of witness. And she said, political poetry should have a chance to percolate and associate, because good poetry is associative. And you don't want to just have it, you know, promote one point of view or send a message. So I've been learning to write political poetry, which I hope is connected to the unconscious, which good poetry should be. And Hong Kong has certainly inspired me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there 20 years, and I've been doing more and more of that kind of writing since I've been there.
Well, how about reading for us the poem that you were talking about? It's called 20 Years
in the People's Republic of China. It's in two parts. 20 Years in the People's Republic of China. 1. January 1999. There will be, said my new boss, a party plant in your classroom. Tiananmen never happened. I was sitting in her office at Centennial College in Toronto. Arrival, Changsha, Hunan. Steel towers, red iron cranes, gauze wrapped. Each breath tasted of coal. The great helmsman Mao went to teachers' college here, wrote poems sheltering from the molten sun in a mountain pavilion. For National Day, my students took me hiking to Zhangjiajie, China's first forest park, because I saw trees in the xilanghua, broccoli in our lunch boxes, and in the brittle, bare whisk brooms leaning upright by the caretaker's hut. Wicker baskets of birds at the gates. The students helped me buy a small pheasant, feathers dry, brown as leaf litter from a hunter. They climbed with me halfway up Dupeng Mountain, where I released the bird. Its rapid wing beats sliced cloud from the sky. Some students laughed. The bird will be caught again by a hunter, a girl insisted. Descending the steep slope, two students asked what I knew about the tank man at Tiananmen. A tall boy said, anti-China propaganda. 2. January 2019. 9 months until I repatriate to Canada. I am on the Lantau Trail, neck deep in flush pink petals parted for butterflies, Hong Kong's silver skyline hidden by the mountain. An eagle owl on a tall pine pivots his head after leaf rustle. I can hardly believe only one more spring on these mountain trails. Outside my window peaks across the bay, cloaked in smog. I cannot risk travel to the mainland now. My poems about my Hong Kong students' protest umbrellas blooming in a mist of tear gas, seditious. Canadian diplomat Michael Korvig waits in a cell where the lights never go out. He can't sleep, but his spirit still roams China. I yearn to walk the edge of Tiger Leaping Gorge in Yunnan, skirt its deep, dark mouth. I yearn to climb Emeshan with the pilgrims. My yearning enters my dreams. I am holding the pheasant whose heart beats fast. I release it, and over it is shot. A red-brown flurry drops at my feet on the forest path. Ribs poke through, the heart's in shred.
Thank you, Kate.
You're welcome.
That's a very moving poem.
It's emotional to read as well as to hear.
Now we'll take a short break.